and dealing, the Georgia High School Basketball Podcast. I am Kyle Sandy, the owner of SandySpiel.com. And with me today, as always, is Ramin Forgani, my producer and moderator of the podcast. And Ramin, if you listened to our podcast the other day, we broke down the girls' state tournament. And now it's time for the boys' state tournament bracketology for the Sweet 16. Are you ready to get right into it, sir?
I am ready. You know, we're doing a back-to-back. We're playing on back-to-back nights with the podcast, Kyle. The playoffs are just so important. We can't take a day off.
You're right about that, sir. Just like the players and the coaches, this is where you got to put your money where your mouth is, and I'm ready to rock and roll.
Let's get right into it. First round recap. In 7A, there were a bit of a couple upsets, couple of good close games.
Yes, there was. And that top left-hand side, Grayson and Collins Hill met. I was able to attend that game. And a lot of people think, going based on what the February Frenzy brackets say, and even my own judgment, a lot of people think whoever won that Grayson and Collins Hill game would have a very, very favorable trip to the Final Four, or would at least be the favorite. We're not saying they're going to automatically get there, but they would be the favorite. And Grayson was able to pull that one out 52-50. It was a little way too close for comfort for them. Grayson was up pretty big most of the game. They're up about 30-19 and maintained about an 8-10 point lead. And then things got tighter and tighter and closer down the stretch. And Grayson kept missing free throws in the fourth quarter. If I tally it up right here, I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 missed free throws in the fourth quarter, but Grayson was able to survive 52-50. Travis Anderson, a junior guard, was very good, had 20 points. Nick Edwards had 14 points in that game. Kenyon Jackson had a couple big slam dunks. He had 9 points. In the losing effort, Collins Hill received 17 points from Jaquan Morris, who was somewhat of a human microwave. When he gets hot, he can really carry the team, and he tried to lead that comeback, but they fell short. And then elsewhere, Lambert beat Meadow Creek on a nail biter, on a buzzer beater, that is, actually, 72-70. Andrew Mounds, who's been a part of over 70 wins over his career. He is just a notorious winner over there. He's been there forever. He's finally a senior. Of course, he maneuvered his way into the lane and hit a clutch buzzer beater in traffic. A great shot on his part. So that was a great win for Scott Bracco to beat a Meadow Creek team, which is very talented, but probably a year away because they dealt with a lot of injuries throughout the season. And they'll be ready to turn the page and get everybody back healthy for next year. And then the final game was a 4-1 upset, which I picked in my bracket, and I think a lot of other people picked it as well. Brookwood took down Milton 61-58. And just like that Grayson game, Brookwood, almost gave it up there late in the game. They were 2 of 8 from the foul line in the last minute and 36 seconds. But when you got Bubba Parham, the Region 7 Player of the Year, he did just enough to get the job done. He had 20 points. Trey Higginbotham had 14, and Marcus Smith scored 13. And then on the other side for Milton, Alex O'Connell going to Duke next year. In his final game of his career, he fouled out in the fourth quarter and finished with 14 points. So those are three of the best games across the state in Class 7A this past week.
And I know if you're looking ahead at the bracket like I am, we'll get to a few of those matchups later on in the podcast. Down to 6A, Region 2 put a bit of a beating on Region 4.
Yes, indeed they did. That's that South Georgia coastal region. A lot of people thought, you know, are they for real? Are they not for real? I'm not 100% sure or not. But they took care of business. Glen Academy upset Stevenson. That's a 4-1, 75-63. Now, that was a big-time result because Stevenson was kind of becoming the darling of the tournament after they beat Jonesboro to win that region tournament. So a lot of people thought they might be able to capitalize and take a deep run, but that was not to happen. And then you look over there with the number 2 seed, Effingham County, at home. They took care of Tucker. They won that game by about 10 points or so. And then number 1 seed, Brunswick, they really crushed Forest Park. And looking at Jonesboro, who usually is a favorite to get very deep into the tournament, it wasn't so easy for them. They ended up winning a close one against Richmond Hill. won that one by about 6, 7, 8 points or so. And it wasn't easy. I heard Richmond Hill might have been without their starting point guard, which hurts them, of course. And then I heard Richmond Hill miss about 14 free throws or so. So that was, Jonesboro, they were kind of fortunate to get by. I mean, it's survive in advance. They're going to have to win pretty. But Jonesboro has not been that ultimate dominating team like they've been in years past. And once again, they had to play very well to get past a tough Richmond Hill team. And if you want to look at another region that really just fell apart, Region 3, they did not play very well. Number one seed, Lakeside Evans, who I said in my bracketology, I said they are either going to boom or bust, and they busted big time. They were beat by the number four seed out of Region 1, which is South Georgia. Valdosta beat them 56-55. So that's an upset in itself, but I thought the bigger upset was Heritage Conyers, the number two seed out of that Region 3, can beat by the three seed out of Region 1, Coffee County, 77-71. Sophomore guard Jace Moore had 30 points in that game, and that was much of a stunner right there because Heritage had all the big-time talent, Byron Abrams, Isaiah Banks, who broke a backboard, Jordan Thomas, who can shoot the three. A super disappointing season for Heritage to bow out against Coffee. And I watched video of Coffee preparing for the second round and everything. I mean, they play very hard, but it's just a lot of athletes. If you can control the tempo on those guys and get them into a half-court set, Coffee's going to struggle. And it just seems like they probably were able to control the tempo against Heritage, and they hit some threes, and Moore got hot, and the rest is history. But that was a very disappointing performance from Region 3, a lot of Augusta area schools. And then that Heritage Conyers, they all got swept by Region 1. And Region 1, going into the tournament, was not viewed as one of the strongest regions. So that was a very disappointing performance.
On down to Class 5A, where I wish we had I guess it's not an emoji, but more of a sound effect on the podcast for a broom sweeping as Region 5 got out the brooms as they swept Region 7.
Yes, indeed they did. Now, that's at the DeKalb region, which is always going to be a powerhouse, and it hasn't been as smooth and fluid as years past. I mean, Miller Grove is not super strong Miller Grove, but they're still a very good team. They pounded away at Paulding County 73-46, so that was nothing to not be expected. But then if you look at the lower seeds out of that region, three seed Southwest DeKalb pounded number two Kell 52-34. Southwest DeKalb has played a lot of good teams, and their record wasn't super great going into the tournament, but that's a battle-tested program that knows how to win big games. Eugene Brown does a great job. You got Mandarius Dickerson, Darius Hogan, Quincy Carter. You got veteran guards out there that know how to win games. And then if you want to even look at the four seed, Lysonia now. Lysonia's been up and down. They are nowhere near what they were last year, but even they dispatched of a hot Billerica team who was the number one seed out of Region 7, 75-66. That was a very disappointing performance from Billerica right there. And then Columbia, of course, just too many athletes, too much talent, too many big guys. Kenton Eskridge on the perimeter, just a great bounce over there. They really pounded away at Carrollton, 71-54.
Over in the top right quadrant of Class 5A, New Hampstead eked out a 65-62 victory over Union Grove.
Yes, and that was a good game. I really thought that could be a toss-up game, and New Hampstead found a way to win it. You just mentioned it, a three-point win. Arante Anderson, who's been their dynamo point guard that can shoot it from deep, the lefty, I believe he is still unsigned. He had a big game last year in the first round of the tournament when he led New Hampstead over Upson Lee in an upset of the first round. He had 14 points, 7 assists as well. But Calvin Turner, who's going to play football at, I believe it's Jacksonville or Jacksonville State, he's a quarterback, I think. He had 18 points in that game. He led the team in scoring. And then they got a big guy inside, Xavier Jones, 6'6", physical presence, 13 points, and 11 rebounds. So when you have those three pieces all clicking at the right time, that is a very formidable team. And they're going to have a tough test in the second round. They're playing Buford, who I think is the best team in the state right now in that classification. But if Arante Anderson gets hot from deep, we've seen him do it before. He can carry his team deep into the tournament, so that should be a great matchup.
Down to 4A. Lots of craziness to talk about in 4A. In the bottom left quadrant, Upson Lee put a little beating on North Clayton, 73-50.
Yes, I was at this game. I took a trip to the castle in Thomaston, Georgia. Now, the score says it was a 23-point victory, but boy, oh boy, it was a lot closer than the score says. It was 29-28 at the half. Upson Lee was up one, and it was tied 16-16 at the end of the first quarter. Upson Lee, they had a scare. Trayvon Walker, their big 6'5", 6'6", defensive end, great physical presence inside. They thought he had two fouls early in the game. Coach Darryl Walkart took him out. That would be a big-time issue because Alstanoff's still a 6'8 post for North Clayton, who's going to Lipscomb. He was pounding them inside. He had 9 points in the first quarter alone. It turns out that Walker did not have two fouls. They were able to put him back in, and they kind of kept him out of foul trouble. But Asadula, he was really killing them inside. After that 9-point first quarter, though, he finished the game with only 13 points, did record 11 rebounds and 4 assists and 2 blocks, but he was getting in foul trouble. In the end of the third quarter, swung things. He picked up his fourth foul with 50 seconds left in that third quarter. It was 44-38. He goes down. Then Upson Lee adds a 2-pointer and then a 3-pointer late in the quarter, so they're entering the fourth quarter now, all of a sudden up 11 points, 49-38. And then Ty Fagan drives the baseline with 6:31 left, fouls Austin Asadula out of the game, and that was pretty much it. That was a 12-point game at that point, and they go on to rout him by 23 points. Ty Fagan, he's a star. He's going to be one of the best guards in the state next year, I think. And if I had to give rankings, he's easily a top-5 combo guard in the state. He had 26 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. 4 steals, 3 blocks, can shoot the 3, lefty, smooth, does it all. He's got mid-major, and if he gets even better, I'm not surprised if some high majors start sniffing around him. I know a couple big schools have already come in to see him. He is legitimately the real deal over there at Upson Lee.
A historically weaker Region 6 has sneaked 2 teams into the Sweet 16 in Lafayette and Northwest Whitfield.
Yeah, that was an interesting, surprising result. I mean, when you think of Region 6, that northern basketball, that region really, really struggles come state tournament time. But I guess they had a favorable matchup with Region 8, and they took care of business. Now, that number one seed out of there, Northwest Whitfield, they really pounded Madison County 68-45. Northwest Whitfield, a team that has Luke Shiflett, a very good forward, and Paxton Party, a solid guard. Grant Terrell, someone that can shoot the ball. So they have some pretty good players out there. They won a lot of games this season. So they're a team with a winning mindset now that they're bringing it on to the statewide stage. That's impressive that they won so handily. And then the number two seed, that's Lafayette, really pounded North Oconee as well, 69-53. Alex Killiar, one of the best sophomore guards in the state. Possibly. He plays at that region we just mentioned, and not notoriously known for being a strong region, but he's a killer up in that region, and he's going to be a big-time player for a long time. Only a sophomore, he's a kid that could start floating onto people's radars if he continues to play well, gets better, and translates this over into the summer and spring circuit. If he gets on a good travel ball team and he gets the recognition he deserves, he can really play over there.
In your Week 12 pre-region boys rankings, you had America Sumter as the sixth team, and they got upset by Thompson 67-62.
Indeed they did. And Thompson's a team I had ranked in the top 10 pretty high for the beginning of the season, and they could never piece it together. They would take a couple bad losses, a couple thrashings, but that's a team that has talent. It's all there. They're only 15-11. But they beat America Sumter in overtime by 5. Now, the next step is, can they piece it together and stay consistent and continue to win these games? Now they're going to have a pretty interesting matchup where they're going to have more athletes than Blessed Trinity. Now, Blessed Trinity, Patrick Hughes, he's a great coach. They have shooters, Kyle Swade. They have a lot of good pieces over there, C.J. Abrams. Good players over there that are going to play very tough defense and control the tempo and everything. But if Thompson can get this thing up and down a little bit and get some of their star players loose, Thompson's a tough team. I mean, they have the talent there. They just haven't been able to put it together. Darian Johnson averages 18 points per game. Darius Turman, 12 points per game. Jacorius Thomas, 12 points per game. So you got three guys that are known for scoring the rock. The Bulldogs are going to be tough. I mean, the talent is there. And if they finally start to click and put it together, don't be surprised if you see them in the Elite Eight.
And in another somewhat low-scoring game for a boys' basketball game, Marist beat Cartersville, who was a number 9 ranked team, 50-46.
Yes, and I went on Bartow Sports Zone in Bartow County, and I was trying to assure all the fans over there in Cartersville, you got this. This is a great matchup. I love you in this matchup. And it just didn't happen. They lose by 4, and the worst-case scenario happened. Marist controlled the tempo. It was only 19-19 at the half. That is definitely not the style of play Cartersville wants to play. Now, they don't want to necessarily get all up and down, fast break transition, go crazy like that. But when they have the talented guards, T.J. Horton and Jalen Pugh, that can run up and down and get easy buckets, yeah, of course you want to push the tempo and get some easy baskets in transition. But Marist did it by committee. Kyle Hamilton and Whit Childs had 10 points. Jalen Pugh led the way for Cartersville, had 14 points, but he fouled out in the fourth quarter, and it was just a nightmare trip over to the Atlanta area for Cartersville.
The bottom half of your final class 4A rankings are really struggling as Westover beat Baldwin 64-60.
And that's another one I'm not too surprised about. Westover, I had them in the top 10 beginning of the season. Same thing with Thompson. Haven't really pieced it all the way together. They've been up and down. They came from that pretty tough region over there in Region 1, but they did slip to the 4 seed. So that was just their whole story in a nutshell right there, their whole season, just not being able to get over the hump. But look what happened. You get to the state tournament, Baldwin upset Richmond Academy to get that number 1 seed out of Region 3, and Westover had more than enough to take care of business, 64-60 in a close game, and they had very good guard play. Chris Gardner, 21 points in that game. Jordan Brown and Jamaria Greer, 15 points apiece. Jordan Snow Brown is a deep three-point shooter. If he can get hot, he can carry the load, and Chris Gardner does a lot of great things. So that's another 4-1 that I'm not too surprised about. I really thought that was a coin flip game, and Westover, the Patriots, they really went out there, and they finally got a nice win. Now they move on to the second round. That's going to be an interesting matchup, a very tough matchup, matching up against Sandy Creek. But that's a good win for Westover, and just like Thompson, maybe they're starting to peak at the right time. Took them a while, but hey, state tournament time, it's time to nut up or shut up.
And while we're still on the topic of 4A, what is this I'm hearing about a 49-point individual performance?
Oh, yes, indeed, sir. You are right about that. Keandre Perry for Eastside. They went down and lost to Mary Persons in a tough battle, 81-77, but I heard he was just lights out. Senior guard, a wing, about 6'4", strong body, pretty good athlete, can shoot the three, can do a lot of things. He put together a phenomenal performance in this final game. But I think we're going to touch on something pretty soon that he had 49 points, but that actually might not be the most points scored in the state that night, Ramin, if you can believe that.
No, well, when I'm about to introduce the score of the next game down in 3A, Crisp County won in triple overtime, 108-106. Let that sink in, folks. High school, 32-minute game as opposed to the NBA 60, and they're scoring as such. And that was a...
Yeah. You're right about that. I believe they actually went to triple overtime, so that will kind of smooth defensive-minded woes of why there are so many points scored. But I do believe I heard they went to triple overtime. And 108-106, that's still a crap load of points. And you know who did the scoring? That was a Mr. Quintavious Dean of Crisp County, and 57 points. So that's a lot of points. You're going to have fingers and toes and... That's going to be a lot, but he poured 57 points. He's one of the best scorers in the state, a guy that is also unsigned. And that is another thing that I had ranked number 10 to open up the season. Again, it did not quite work too well for Chris, but starting to get going in the right direction. They did capture that number 1 seed out of Region 1, which isn't the best region, but they did get that number 1 seed. And that's part of the reason why I had them ranked so high, even in the top 10, was because you have a prolific scorer like that that can go off and score 57 points, and he did that and led Crisp County to a win over Savannah in the first round.
Still in 3A, Lovett shocked GAC 62-58, and I believe GAC was one of your final four picks out of Class 3A, was it not?
Don't remind anybody, Ramin. Don't remind anybody. But yes, 62-58, it looks like GAC was a team I had ranked number three for much of the year. Lovett, when you have Ryan Greer as your point guard, magic can happen. Sophomore, he's, again, one of the best sophomore point guards in the state. He is freaking mature beyond his years. He is just so good getting into the lane, using his body, getting to the foul line, creating for others. He had 27 points in that game. He's got a buddy named Crawford Schweiger who can absolutely knock down three-point ball if you leave him open on the perimeter. He had 14 points in that game. And in the loss for GAC, a sophomore guard, Roy Dixon, had 30 points. Hunter McIntosh, who usually is their top go-to guy, sophomore point guard, he was held to about 8 points, I believe. And then Charlie O'Brien, who's going to Air Force 6'8", he did not was not able to really exploit himself enough on the low block to really exploit their size problems, I should say, establish himself on the block. But that's a guy that can go inside and out. But he did not do just enough to really help Roy Dixon and the rest of the gang. So tough loss for GAC. It was a group loss. Lovett played very well. And that's a great win over there for Coach K.
In 2A, Dublin survived 66-65 over Fitzgerald.
Yes, yes, indeed they did. And that was a game I picked incorrectly. I thought Dublin had no chance of winning that one. Fitzgerald's a pretty good group over there. Got some athletes, got some guards, got a little bit of size here and there. But they were without Cameron Paul, though, in Dublin. That was the player who averages 26 points per game, their leading scorer, point guard, do-everything guard, suspended for two games after getting ejected in the region championship. And I did not think they would have enough to get the job done, and they proved me wrong. That was a phenomenal result for Dublin, 66-65. That is very impressive. Now, they had a home game. That helps out, matters a lot. But a great win for Dublin. Fighting Irish live to see another day. And now I believe Paldo is going to be suspended for the Sweet 16 game as well. But, boy, if they get past Heard County and they get a 26-point-per-game score back, man, that's a pretty nice addition right there.
It is. And Swainsboro beat Westside Augusta 80-55.
Yeah, that was one I actually picked Westside Augusta to win, I thought. But, boy, oh boy, Swainsboro, they really pounded them out 80-55. That's a blowout result right there. That's down there in that left bottom quadrant, which I deem the group of death. And Swainsboro, I guess they're really bowed up. They're a number one seed out of Region 2 for a reason. A great win for them. They're going to end up playing Monticello in the second round. That should be a much tougher matchup, I would imagine. But Westside Augusta going out like that in the first round, that was a team that always refused to report their scores to Max Preps in a timely fashion. So maybe there was a little bit of karma involved in that. Who knows? But their season is over, and Swainsboro marches on into the Sweet 16.
In the single A's, not a lot to talk about yet. The real games haven't started yet with the eight teams on the bye, but the 20th-seeded team, Stratford, beat number 13, Darlington, by a point.
68-67 in overtime. I heard there were 25 lead changes, so that is what high school basketball, state tournament basketball is all about, nip-and-tuck action. A great game, it sounds like. Christian Palmer hit two game-winning free throws with 10 seconds left to get rid of Darlington from the state tournament. Nathan Hunt scored 26 points in the win. Palmer and Tyler Jordan added on 16 apiece. Now, Stratford's doing this without big 6'7", 243-pound Nate Brooks, who is a senior this season, I believe, who he played on the circuit with some pretty big-name teams. And a lot of people thought he could possibly be a Division I guy.
but he transferred out in the middle of the season. They say he had a sick mother, but he transferred over to North Farmington in Michigan. So that was a big loss for Stratford in the middle of the season. But Coach Sweeney's done a great job of keeping them together, and they're marching into the next round as well. So a very very good job right there for the first-year head coach in Stratford to make it into the next round.
And in 1A public, Manchester beat Randolph Clay 85-56.
Yeah, Manchester is 16-11 this year. That was a team that was a state runner-up, if you remember, in Class 2A when Pace Academy just blew them out. It was about a 20-point game. Probably should have been a 30-point game because of the disparity of the talent. But Coach did a very good job. Now he's gone. Coach Elroy, Dr. Elroy, comes in and takes over. They haven't played too great this year, a little bit of up and down, this and that. But they really blew out Randolph Clay, 85-56. Janiel Hill, junior guard. He's a helter-skelter type guy that's best in the open court, pressing, getting up and down the floor. Now, if you contain him into the half court, it might be a little bit of a different story, but that's a kid that's pretty athletic and gets out there and plays very hard. And he loves that up-tempo style of play. And that looks like what Manchester put on Randolph Clay after he scored 85 points. So, nice win right there. They're going on to the next round. Blue Devils still alive.
And that's covered. We've covered all of the interesting first-round matchups, but second-round starts on Thursday for most everybody. And so we'll give you a second-round preview. 7A, tough, tough matchup. I think the marquee matchup everyone's been waiting for, expecting to see once the brackets came out. Westlake at Newton.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, indeed. Now, those are two teams that have been among the top teams in the state and even top teams in the nation throughout this year. Newton only has one loss on the season, and that's going to be a great matchup because Newton, they lost to Westlake last year. I think it was in the Final Four. I believe it was around 64-59. Somewhere in that area, Newton was up pretty much the entire game, but Westlake finally wore them down. And, of course, Westlake went on to win the state championship last year. Now they have Chuma Okiki, who is he's going to be the X Factor. Newton does not have that size to match up with him, and Okiki's about 6'7", 6'8". He's been having a phenomenal season. One of the front runners for Mr. Basketball in the state of Georgia going to Auburn. He has about 24 points, 15 rebounds a game. He's just been great. Jamie Lewis, I hear he is finally back healthy. He is a super talented guard that can score in bunches. And then Danny Lewis, going to Central Florida. He's a great three-point shooter. This is his last hurrah as well. He's a senior. So they got the big three right there, really cooking. Chase Hunter does some good things. He's a defensive stopper and a great athlete in transition, can really break down the rim if he gets an open rim run. And then, of course, we all know about Newton, Rick Rasmussen's gang, Ashton Hagen, probably the best sophomore point guard in the entire nation. I wouldn't be surprised if he is. If not, you're hard-pressed to find anybody that's better than him. J.D. Note going to Jacksonville, a great scorer. He was the Region 8 Player of the Year. And then Isaiah Miller, who transferred in from Eastside, has really been that key piece that they needed, just an uber freakish athlete, highlights nonstop. He is just the energizer bunny. Those guards that give everybody some very tough matchup issues. So that is going to be a hell of a game. You better get there at least an hour and a half, 2 hours early if you want to go see that one.
Also in 7A, Berkmar at Tift County.
Another good one, yes. You're going down to the Palace in Tift County. They have that great gym, that great fan base. That is going to be very difficult, a very difficult place for the Patriots to go win at. Now, Tift County had some heartbreak last year when Milton beat them on a buzzer beater. That's fresh in their mind, I'm sure. And they got another talented team coming in. Berkmar's coming in with Zach Cooks going to NJIT. Al Durham, we all know, is going to Indiana. And J.S. Steen, he is probably one of the best unsigned senior shooters in the state. He is a very good, talented 6'5 shooter. I'm surprised that he doesn't have any or too many Division I offers that he should be choosing from. He's a very good player. Now, Tift County is going to counter with some junkyard dog mentality. That is a team that knows how to win. Now, are they super battle tested like Berkmar is? They're not. They played Montverde Academy. which is as good a test as you get. They got beat by 30, but they beat everybody by 30. But outside of that, they just haven't really seen those great teams. Now, they have P.J. Horn, 6'6", power forward, who within the past month, I believe, he actually committed to play at Virginia Tech, which is quite surprising. But he is a very tough power forward, a little undersized. He's a double-double machine. They're really going to have to establish him inside, and he's going to really have to clean the glass, because if Berkmar has one weakness, Berkmar does not have a lot of size inside, and that could pose a little bit of problems for the Patriots if they want to take a deep run into the state tournament.
Down to 6A, Jonesboro at Allatoona looks to be a good one.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. That is one that I'm thinking about making a trip over there to go check out, just because it's MJ Walker, a McDonald's All-American. You don't see McDonald's All-Americans too often, unless you are in the state of Georgia when you get three of them in there, MJ Walker, Colin Sexton, and Wendell Carter Jr. So you're truly blessed, of course, if you live in the state of Georgia and follow the GHSA. But that's going to be a really good defensive battle. Jonesboro, they still have the juice. They still have the talent there to get to the Final Four, and they could turn it on in a heartbeat, just flick the switch and start crushing teams by 20 points per game, which we haven't seen, you know, down the stretch here, but they're still very good. And Marcus Soden, I talk about Marcus Soden, that defense all the time, that zone defense. They make a lot of good players look really, really bad. They're going to muck it up. They're going to get to their rotations. They're going to take charges. They're going to do a lot of things. Now on offense, Mike Johnson's going to really have to step up. T.J. Goodrum, Toby Adaye, and of course Trey Dooms, who is their big-time prospect that has some high major interest. So Trey Dooms is really going to have to score the ball well, and they're going to have to shoot the three-point shot well if they get open looks. So that's going to be a great game. I expect it to be low-scoring. I expect it to be hard-nosed, and I expect it to be one of those matches where everybody leaves it all out on the floor.
In the bottom left quadrant, Decula takes on Brunswick.
Yes, and that is another great one. That's another one that you should probably see in the Elite Eight, but sadly they're matched up playing in the Sweet 16. Brunswick has Kamani Dunham, 6'8", about 250. That's a big old boy right there going to College of Charleston. And that's a kid that's won a state title before. He won one as a sophomore when they beat Allatoona in the state championship. But they have Daquan Humphreys. Lampkin is a very good guard. Marcus Smart. A lot of good guards to go around the big fella inside. Now, Dekula is going to answer back with just strictly guards. They have Shane Buckingham inside, 6'5". Got some meat on his bones. He's not much of a scorer. He can do a couple moves around the basket. He's much improved. I'll give him that. But he's not a guy you're going to dump it into every single play like they could do with Kamani Dunham on the other side. But he's going to have to play very good defense. He's going to have to keep Dunham and Brunswick off the glass. But on the offensive side of things, Dekula has Mikhail Batea, very good sophomore guard. He is very mature beyond his years. He's really taken a step forward this year. Justin Goodson, another good scorer, and Arusha Hunter has really come on strong this season. So that perimeter play of Dekula and Dr. Ross Triaga, putting the pieces in the right place, that should be a really fun one to see what happens. I think the deciding factor could be Brunswick's size inside with Kamani Dunham, but I expect that one to be a very close call.
And finally in 6A, South Cobb takes on Glynn Academy.
That should be a good game right there. South Cobb, they can play a very good defense. They're a defensive-minded group over there. They've kind of been struggling to score a little bit here and there. I mean, they only beat Lanier by 10 points, which was somewhat of a surprise. Lanier is a team that, I mean, that just tells you how good Gainesville is over there on the opposite side of the bracket. They've pounded Lanier by about 30 points a couple times, it feels like. But South Cobb, they had Trevin Wade, who was a very good scorer. He was a Region 6 Player of the Year, pours in about 17 points per game. And Rilu Orizo, 6'8", big guy, senior, can block shots, lanky. I saw him play against Allatoona in the Region 6 Championship. He needs to finish a little better around the rim, but even when he was missing shots, he was having stats and getting second-chance opportunities and then finishing. So he's a walking double-double just with that, his long arms. He can really change what you want to do around the basket. And Glynn Academy, Duran Green, a great scorer from beyond the arc, a little undersized guard. He's been a spark plug for Glynn Academy all season long. And Siren Noise, about 6'4" forward, lefty. He can shoot the three-point shot if you leave him open, but he's another nice piece that can go inside and out and really helps out Glenn Academy. And it's been a big reason why Glenn Academy is still dancing right now and has been ranked in the top 10 for a couple weeks throughout the season.
Take us down to your games to watch in 5A.
Yes, that's another good one with Southwest Academy at Warner Robins. Southwest Academy, mentioned them earlier. They don't have the greatest record like they're used to having, but that's a team that has a lot of depth right there, and they could play well at any single moment. That's going to be a great game. I mentioned Mandarius Dickerson, Darius Hogan, Quincy Carter. They're going to go up against Warner Robins, guards and forwards. That's going to be Nelson Phillips, who a lot of people like as being a Division I guy. Jacoby Owens has some great athleticism. I remember seeing him throw one down in transition at the Lake City Classic. I was not expecting that, but boy, can he get up there and throw it down. And then Jaden Norman is another good forward, good piece out there, and they have some bangers inside. So I think that's going to be a very physical game over at Warner Robins. That should be a doozy because both teams are very well coached. Jamal Garman over there at Warner Robins. Both teams like to play some tough defense, and both teams have some good guards that can really score the ball.
And is there another game, Columbia at Fayette County down in 5A?
Yes, sir. That is another good one. That is a tough one. Again, just like at DeCoola versus Brunswick, this is one that you kind of feel like should be in the Elite Eight or something. Columbia, it's going to be Columbia's size. How are they going to match up with Noah Gurley? Noah Gurley of Fayette County, 6'8", very slender forward, but very skilled. He's going to Furman, and Columbia has some youth and some experience to throw at him. Josh Taylor, he's about 6'7". He's a freshman who's been turning himself into a double-double machine as the year moves on. He transferred in the offseason, and so did Rahan Cobb, who came back in from Wisconsin. And he's another lengthy shot blocker, about 6'7". So those two guys are going to be playing pretty well against Fayette County's Noah Gurley. They're going to try and neutralize him. But, of course, Fayette County has Austin Naismith, Philip Young. They have some more good scores around Noah Gurley, but that should be a really great game. That's another one. Man, if you said Fayette County versus Columbia in the Final Four, I wouldn't bat an eye at it. That's something very possible. But to see that in the Sweet 16, that's just a tough road for both of those teams.
It looks like there's a handful of good games in Class 4A.
Yes, indeed, there are. St. Pius, we'll start with the St. Pius game against Mary Persons. They are hosting Mary Persons. St. Pius is a good team. I feel like I gave them a kiss of death a couple times. Every time I put them in the rankings, they lose. But they're clicking on all cylinders now. I feel like Aaron Parr is a great coach over there. I got Maddie Gonzalo, a very talented guard, who if you just looked at him, you wouldn't know. But, boy, that kid can get up. He has quick lateral movements. He has a good vertical to his game. He gets a lot of people involved. You got Everett Lane, a very heady guard that plays very tough, very well. Carson Sear, more someone that can shoot the ball a little bit. And then Kennedy Willis, a 6'7", guy that gives them some length inside, which they could have used a little bit of last year. Kearney Lane was about 6'6", but he didn't have that Superman length that could really alter shots and block a lot of shots. But they're playing Mary Persons, who beat Eastside. We mentioned that earlier. Cam Holden, Cam Holden's the whole team for the most part. St. Pius is going to have to game plan around him. That's a guy about a 6'5 junior wing. He averages about over 20 points, probably gives you about 8 rebounds, 4 assists a game, something like that. A real stat sheet stuffer, but he just really doesn't have too much around him, so I was pretty surprised that they beat Eastside. But the whole game plan for Coach Aaron Parr is going to be slow down Cam Holden.
And we're going to – did you want to talk about Sandy Creek, Kyle?
Yes, yeah. We'll talk about Sandy Creek, another one we kind of hinted at, playing Westover. That is that's going to be an interesting one. I think Westover, they have the good guards to give Sandy Creek some issues. Now, I don't know if they're going to have the overall size and the depth to really hang with Sandy Creek, but I do see that one being a close game for at least 2 to 3 quarters. I think Sandy Creek could have enough to pull it out. You got Evan Jester, 6'7" inside, does a lot of great things. KJ Wilkins, a very sturdy senior guard who I saw pouring close to 26, 28 points in a tough, heartbreaking loss to Cartersville. I was super impressed with him. Jared Godfrey, Cam Miller, just all the pieces are there. Eric Williams, the defensive stopper for Coach McKissick as well. Westover's going to have their hands full just because of that length and that depth that Sandy Creek provides. But that's one that that could be a very tricky game for Sandy Creek. They're going to have to play well to get past that team.
What games are you looking at in the 3A bracket, Kyle?
3A bracket, boy, oh boy, you got Cedar Grove at Jenkins. That's one that's pretty easy to pick out. Cedar Grove, of course, in DeKalb County. So that's going to be a team that is very battle-tested, and they're going to be able to play some very good basketball over there. Now, Jenkins is very known for getting to the state title game. They lost it last year, but they won the year before that. Travion Lamar is still there. A little undersized. He's a kind of a tweener of a small forward and a power forward. He's about 6'5", over 200 pounds, very physical guy. He's very talented. He leads that team in points, rebounding, assists. He pretty much does it all. And then Zion Williams, a very good guard. But they also have a bit of an ace in their back pocket, I think, is with Tyrone Scott. He's a freakish athlete that can really run and jump, and they play that press defense that really gets after you. Cedar Grove is going to have to rely on Devin Barnes to break the press and then get guys like Jamari Dean involved. So that's another good game where Cedar Grove is going to have the athletes to match up with Jenkins. And Cedar Grove, they beat Pace earlier in the season without Wendell Carter, of course. But I can see those two teams really going at it and having a very gritty, gritty second-round Sweet 16 matchup.
Looking down in 2A, what are your favorite games that you see on the bracket?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There's a couple good ones. I'll give you two of them. Thomasville at Chattooga. Now, I think Thomasville should have enough to beat Chattooga. Chattooga only beat Temple 59-53 in the first round, and that was kind of scary to see a game that close for Chattooga, who is coming out of a pretty weak region over there in Region 7. But Chattooga's guards, Isaiah Foster, Isaac Foster, and Jay Shropshire, they're gonna go full force at Thomasville's big men. Reggie Perry going to Arkansas, who's only a junior, and then Titus Wright, who's about 6'9" inside, a mountain of a man. But that's going to be tough. Thomasville's guards are not very strong, so Chattooga can get after them in that facet. But that's going to be a tough game for Chattooga to really get past that size. And then looking at the opposite side of that bottom of the bracket, South Atlanta versus Butler. Butler's been ranked fairly high throughout the season in the Class 2A poll, and South Atlanta has been number one for pretty much forever. That's going to be Atlanta's length inside now. You got 6'7", unsigned senior Tyler Thornton. He's a lefty. He does a lot of good things. You got Devonta Pullins, a good guard. Just a lot of talented players over there for South Atlanta. But Butler's going to try and answer the call. Now, they don't have much size. I saw Butler lose to Mountain View early in the season, but they have some athletes that are a little smaller. But DeAndre Barton, I believe he was the region player of the year. He's only about 6'2", but he averaged 16 points and 10 rebounds. You got Mardrez McBride, gives you 15.5 points per game per clip. And you got some more big bodies like Will Lambert, who is just all muscle, but he's only about maybe 6'1", 6'2". And they're going to have to play some good defense. Christian Robinson is a key piece that he was not there when I watched him play Mountain View earlier in the season, but he's known for being a junkyard dog defensively, and he's going to really have to get after it to get into Devonta Pullins and the rest of those talented South Atlanta guards if Butler wants a chance to make it to the Elite Eight.
In the single A classifications, the big dogs get out in this round of 16. And what are you looking at in 1A private?
Holy Innocents at Tatnall Square. I think that could be an interesting game. Holy Innocents has had some tumultuous injuries and just all-around crazy stuff surrounding the program this year. Cole Smith has been banged up. I think he had a bit of a jumper's knee. Smith told me personally that he is back, ready to play. He's healthy. That's a great shooter, great kid, about 6'3", the baby-faced assassin, as I would like to call him. He's got that somewhat of a bull haircut, cute kid, could really stroke the three ball, though, 19 points per game. And he is a master of the awkward shot. He'll get in the lane, he'll float, he'll bang, he'll take these off-bounce, crazy-looking shots. But most of the time, they go in. So Cole Smith, he's a great player, one of the best in that region he's coming out of. Then Jules Irving, of course, Dr. J's son, he averages 17 points per game. He's put together a pretty nice senior season as well. He should be able to rebound the ball a little better, but he does a good job. He's athletic. He can flash into the lane, get some easy hoops. I would like to see him expand his game to the three-point line a little more consistently. And then lastly, Richard Surdykowski. That's a guy, another guy who's just been hampered with injuries nonstop. I'm not sure if he's healthy right now. I hope he is healthy. He's been banged up with concussions this year. He had his season end short last year with some lower body injuries. But that's another guy who's a double-double threat, can block some shots, bring some energy around the basket. Now, if you want to talk about Tattnall Square, you might not know about Tattnall Square, but they have Calvin Slaughter, who's a very good scoring guard. He can give you buckets, give you 20 points every single night. Ahmad Barron, he's a football star over there, but he's a spunky little spark plug on the hardwood. And then they have some post players. Jimmy Marshall, 6'7". I hear he likes to float around the perimeter a little too much, but he has that size. And then Sean Brown, a rugged, undersized post that can really give you some hard-nosed buckets in the paint and clean up the glass. And then two more quick games we'll touch on in Class A private that I think are good. Whitfield Academy at Southwest Atlanta Christian. Now, that's the Isaiah Hart show over at Whitfield Academy. He's about 5'11", but he gives you 25 points a night. He's just a bulldog doing everything for Whitfield Academy. And Southwest Atlanta Christian, now, they have some great athletes. They have some great size. And they have DeAndre Ballard, who is going to Florida, 6'6". Bouncy swing man, who does a lot of great things. So that's going to be tough for Whitfield to match up with, but if they can't track down Isaiah Hart and he gets hot, he's going to keep Whitfield Academy in that game. And then the last one, Wesleyan at Lakeview Academy. Lakeview Academy is the number 2 seed. Wesleyan, only the 15 seed, but I'm telling you, I am cautioning you, Wesleyan has been playing great basketball down the stretch. Coach Griffin, his first year as a head man over there, he has his boys playing exceptionally well. They blew out Savannah Christian in the first round. Christian McClain, very good junior guard that has really done a lot of good things for them. Very versatile piece. Grant Fairking inside, length, blocks some shots, rebounds pretty well. And then McDonough does a lot of nice things. He can get hot from deep and go a little inside outside. And then Lakeview Academy, of course, Coach Cottrell's sons, the Cottrell brothers, they do a lot of good things. They can shoot the ball very well. That is a very unselfish team. They don't have great size inside. Evan Pitts does some nice things around the rim, but Josh Randolph, he's their best athlete. That is a spark plug type guy who has such a quick second leap that can really clean up around the rim. He's about 6'4", or so. And then Trey Gober, another very talented guard. And that is a team that can knock down free throws at a high clip. So if Wesleyan gets down and they have to go into a fouling game, they're going to be in trouble because the Lakeview Lions can really knock them down from the line.
In 1A public, there are a couple of games that look interesting to me.
Crawford County at Wilkinson County. Crawford County dropped down from 2A to 1A this year, and they haven't been that team I really wanted them to be when they lost William Jarrell last year to graduation. That hurt them a lot more than I thought. He was a stud. But they do have Markel Knowlton, who is about 6'5", 6'6", rugged, double-double guy who just puts up big-time stats. I don't know if he's necessarily the guy that can carry this team. He hasn't led them to a great record. He was a dynamic duo with Jarrell last year, but he's still a guy that can pose a lot of issues just with his tenaciousness around the rim. But they're going to be playing at the Palace at Wilkinson County. And you got Clarence Jackson, 6'5", 6'6", wing, junior. He tells me he's got a lot of high major schools hot on his trail. He's a very talented player. He's one of the best players in Middle Georgia. He can do pretty much everything on the court. And in the final game to preview, now, you go look on the message boards and all this other stuff. People are telling me Trutland is going to run Lincoln County out of the gym, number 16 seed Lincoln County against number 1 seed Trutland. could be true. Trutland is a team that is high tempo. They like to shoot the ball. They like to get up and down. They like to overwhelm opponents. Lincoln County, on the other side, Coach Wesley Wookie's team, that is a defensive-minded, hard-nosed team. They want to slow you down. On the other side, Lincoln County, they do sometimes struggle to score. They beat Portal by 4 points in the first round. Ahmad Rand was not available for that game. I'm projecting that the big 6'7", triple-double machine, reigning statewide Class A Public Player of the Year last year, I think he should be able to play this next round. I'm not 100% sure. I've talked to Coach Wookie, but if he plays, he is a shot-blocking machine. He's going to give Trutland all kinds of hell inside. Now, it's all going to come back to, can Micaiah Gunn be their point guard? Can he score the ball? Can he facilitate? Can they knock down open threes? Zay Gartrell is going to bring a great defense. You got the young kid Zay Wright, J.J. Elam, who can play sparingly and give you some nice moments. But it's all going to be, can Lincoln County, they're gonna slow Trutland down a little bit there. I don't foresee Trutland putting on 85 points on them, but can Lincoln County score with Trutland to keep pace with the Vikings? That is a big question.
We've covered 8 classifications of Georgia basketball. Is Westlake Newton the marquee matchup in the state, Kyle?
Yeah, I think that's hands down. That's going to be an easy one. Everybody's going to be there. And when everybody's at one location, that usually means Kyle Sandy Spiel, is not going to be at that location. When I created this website, I said everybody's going to hitch their wagon on the big 5-star guys and go to this marquee event. But there's so much good basketball around the state that I don't want everybody going all to one area and have 20 guys covering it. Where you have a McDonald's All-American playing over here and MJ Walker, you have some other great games like a Brunswick versus Nakula, a Buford versus New Hampstead, which could be a tricky game. There's so many good games around the state. I don't see the point of everybody gravitating towards one court and just watching that one game. But, boy, if you go there, enjoy it. It's going to be a great game. I think I'm going to have somebody from Sandy Spiel at the Westlake versus Newton game who's actually going to do a write-up for me. I believe Joe Chapman, a colleague of mine, will be there and will give his breakdown of the game. But, yeah, Westlake and Newton, that is definitely the game to be at. If you're going there, get there early. I don't blame you. It is going to be a high-flying, most likely a high-scoring game. That should be a fun one to go to.
And where should people check for all the latest in GHSA basketball, Kyle?
SandySpiel.com. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, which I hope you are already, at KyleSandy355, the leader in GHSA basketball coverage. I've been doing it all season long for 2 years now. I'll lead you to the promised land. We're not marching to Macon. We got Georgia and Georgia Tech this year, but I'm going to take you all the way through to the state championships this season. So please jump aboard, and I will be giving you updates on our February Frenzy Bracket Challenge, which I will tweet out. And we had a good submission this year, a lot of brackets, and that's something fun to keep an eye on as well.
It's been a joy. We'll be back with you after the second round for some more updates, and I guess it'll be Elite 8 preview.
Yes, sir. Ramin Raghani, thank you for moderating the podcast, and everybody for listening. Thank you, and we will see you next week.